Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
So welcome to all of you. Welcome to those who are online. Now, this whole thing of Love University, what are we trying to teach you? Pretty obvious. But we're trying to teach you how to love, but how to love with the same divine love that God has for us. That we want to teach you to love with God's love. And as we do that, we need to look and understand, as we've talked about this, we've talked about how this is pretty well central in Scripture. The greatest commands, love God with everything you got, love your neighbor as yourself. It summarizes it all. Everything hangs on those two commands. We talked about how to love, it has to be supernatural. It has to be a fruit of the Spirit. And to do that, our flesh doesn't take us to love. But when we yield to the Holy Spirit, we have these things of love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control come out of us, but only by the yielding to the Holy Spirit. You know, Bill talked about this whole thing, that this is our true self, so we have to fight off our false self and how what that looks like. And that not only that is when, as we live out our true self, we experience the freedom and the joy of living out our true self, in which that when we live out our true self, not only do we other people get to experience God's love coming through us, we actually get to experience God's love. It says in 1 John that when we love one another, His love is made complete in us. And then Caleb talked last week about how love is a noun, not a noun, but a verb, and how it's something of an action. Today we're going to be talking about our hearts. Today is a focus on our hearts, not the thing that's pumping blood through your body. That's important too, right? But that's not what we're going to talk about. We're talking about the heart that the Bible talks about. And so what I want to do is I want us to start out by a little exercise. And kids, you can do this as well, okay? So I want you to close your eyes. It's only going to be for about 30 seconds now. But I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to think about feelings that you have inside, like times that what are you feeling inside? Think about times that you felt angry. Think about it, kind of imagine what that would be like. Okay? Now pay attention to where you feel that at. Think about times maybe when you felt so filled with happiness. That feeling where you just were so happy and you had kind of joy inside of you. Think about times when you've cried, or when someone maybe at school bullied you or said something really harsh, or at work said something really wrong, and how it cut and hurt. Think about times where your environments that you can feel, this doesn't feel safe, or this feels evil, or this does feel safe, or you feel the presence of God. Okay? So as you think about those things, just give a couple more seconds here. Think about where you feel that at, where it starts at as you feel it. Okay, you can open your eyes. What we're talking about, having a chance to look at your heart. And maybe a few of you thought, I felt it at my fingertips, but most of you thought it was somewhere in here, in the core of who I am. And that's what we're going to be talking about. I didn't really understand this whole understanding of my heart. I understand how I thought, and I thought everything logically, but I remember when I was in middle school. Now, it's hard to believe, but I was a little bit of a pain in the butt in middle school, in the bottom. We have kids here. All right, so in middle school. And I was getting pretty sassy. And so when I was at my grandmother's house, was actually a spiritual woman. She loved Jesus deeply. She wake up every morning at 5 in the morning, pray, and I didn't know her that well, but she'd moved into the town we were in, and I remember going over there, and I had my mom at her house, and I lipped off to my mom with this horrible tone. And my grandma sat me down on the couch, and she pointed at me. She said, David, That's down in you, and you can't let this stuff happen. It's going to destroy. And she started kind of like showing that these actions were tied to something down here. And I remember when she said it, I instantly caught on to this new thing that my actions, my words, my attitude were tied into something down here. And what she was showing me when she pretty strongly pushed into me was she was showing me my heart, and God was showing me my heart. And I remember from there on, I began understanding there's this thing down in here called my heart. Now, today we're going to be talking about the diagnosis and treatment of a hard heart. Because the Bible talks a lot about make sure you don't have a hard heart. Because when you have a hard heart, that's when everything goes sideways. And so we're going to be talking about that. So as we've been talking about this place of how do we love with this divine love, and we've quickly understood the way we do is we receive God's love, right? And as we receive God's love, He fills us, and we are able to express God's love. To understand that, as we go through that, the question that becomes is, where is that love coming from? And of course you say, well, it's God. It is. But within us, where is it coming from? Where is it flowing from? It's flowing from this thing, our heart. And so when we think about the things that we experience, this, we talk about things of comfort and joy and truth and presence and all those kind of things that we sense and feel, these things we say, these things impact us. We always say, it impacted my heart, the core of who I am. Now, the term heart is used a lot. In the New and Old Testament, the term heart is used over 800 times. And it's not talking about the physical heart. It's talking about the core of who we are, our heart. So it's pretty important. And in fact, the problem that we often see Jesus addressing, where people are doing things with their mouth and with their actions, but they were missing it because their heart, it wasn't flowing from their heart. So the heart's pretty important. So Jesus would say things like, love the Lord your God, could have stopped there, but he goes on to say, with all your heart. Forgive your brother and sister, and he could have stopped there, but he says, from your heart, because he knows we have a tendency of not understanding our heart. Thank God, be obedient from your heart. Declare with your mouth, Jesus Lord, and believe in your heart. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. And talks about the goal of this command to love, it comes from a pure heart. Now here's the thing about that. If we understand that we love because we've received love and it flows through us and it comes from a source of our heart, and comes into our heart, what we have to understand is that's really important that our heart can receive and our heart can release and love, the love of God. And so I want us to understand the heart just a little bit, and then we'll dive into more specifics on how to address the things in our heart. The heart, the dictionary definition, English definition would be this: the central and utmost part of something. The essential and most vital part of something. And in the Greek, it's talking about the heart is this place, it's an effective center of our being. It's where we make choices of moral decisions. It's where desires, where choices come out of. It's what makes us tick. It's where we make our decisions. And I love the last part. It establishes who we are. Who you are is here. You may act different ways, but this is who you are. Now, as we look at this thing of the heart, when they were looking for the king of Israel, they were looking at these people that, like, that looks like a king on the outside, strong and good looking, but they almost missed David. It says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. But the Lord, where does he look? He looks at the heart. So he, right now, God's here. He sees you. He sees what you're wearing. Some of you are saying good job. Other people are saying not so good. But he sees what you're wearing. Right? And And he sees all your actions. He hears your words. But what he's really looking at is this. This thing of your inmost being. Who you are. He's looking at your heart. He sees your heart completely. And he loves you. In fact, you know, the Pharisees, they knew the Bible. They were dedicated. They said all the right things. They acted all the right ways. And Jesus said to him, "You teachers of the law, you hypocrites, you Pharisees, you are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside you are full of bones of the dead, and everything is unclean." So, it's pretty important to know what's going on down here. Right? So, here's the verse we're going to have other verses to give explanation, but this is what we're going to land on. A short verse that we're just going to, hopefully this is a great one to memorize. Above all else, guard your hearts, your heart, for everything you do flows from it. That's pretty important. Here's why it's important. Everything flows from your heart. So you want to make sure your heart is right and good. You know, as you look, you know, that's above all else. That's above all else. It's saying you can look at your outside stuff, but above all that, look at what's happening down here inside of you, right? And why is it, what we need to do is, so we need to guard our hearts. What does that mean, guard your hearts? Well, imagine if you had a really expensive home and you said, you need to guard this home. What you'd have to know is, first off, what this home is, and you'd have to know what do you want not in this home and what do you want in this home, right? You'd have to know those things to guard the home. And what God's saying is, you need to guard your heart. You need to know what it is, and you need to know what to let in and what not to let in. And when something gets in that shouldn't be there, you need to figure out how to get it out. So above all else, guard your heart. Everything flows from it. Now, this is kind of our starting point. It's just, first off, kind of understanding what we're guarding and understanding what we're going for. And the scriptures talked over and over about our heart and understanding our heart and what our heart is. And it talks a lot about the hardening of the heart, because that's a natural tendency. We have an enemy that's always looking to harden or dull our heart, because he knows when he does, we're cut off from the source and we can't release God's love. And so that is what he's after. He's after trying to get your heart hardened. And so, comparing the two in Scripture, it talks about the heart and what it should be and what we don't want it to be as we look through this. So this soft heart is pure, it's clean, it's humble, it's undivided, and it's receptive to God. But a hard heart, what happens when your heart becomes hardened? It becomes impure. It hardens because of becoming impure, and it also continues to harden because it's of impurity staying there. It's unclean. It has pride, it's divided, and it's close to God. And so, a soft heart. You know, Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." That's pretty cool, isn't it? If you have a clean heart, you can see God. You can experience God. And as we think about that, is a soft heart, you know, in Psalms, it says the sacrifice, in other words, the offering you want to give to God, that you want, is a broken and contrite heart. You will never despise that, Lord. That's your offering. Your offering to God is a soft and open heart. You know, it's this place in which that we talk about, this place of having a soft heart. It's like, in Proverbs where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. He wants it to be something in which that he directs us through and that is receptive to what he has. But then we also can look and say, okay, well, what about this place of a hard heart? It's, well, you know, when Jesus was talking, he talks about a person's heart, he says, there's these things down in their heart. You know, the deeds they have done has caused this place where they've not had humility anymore, that they've become bitter and envious and selfish. And now they're speaking things in which they think are wisdom, but actually are unspiritual and demonic. There's a spot in which that we have to understand that when our heart becomes hardened, we can't see things clearly. We lose perspective. We lose reference points. And we have evil, and it has a tendency of growing more and more. You know, this place of a closed heart is, the term often used is, don't allow your heart to become calloused or dull. Because when it starts that way, it can get more calloused and more dull. So first off, you need to be able to understand what the heart is, but you now need to see your heart. So we look down, I can't see it, where's it at? I mean, how do you see your heart? Well, the thing I'd say about seeing your heart, and this is probably a key takeaway, you cannot see your heart without the Holy Spirit. You can't see it. The heart is this tricky thing within us, and we can be completely blinded, just like the Pharisees, to this place of what's going on inside of us. Even if someone's trying to explain it, they can't even see it. And so what I want to do is I want to give you, don't you love this? I have 4 W's. I never do this. It actually worked out. I'm so proud of myself. And the next slide, I couldn't come up with anything. But this one, I'm excited. But maybe you'll actually remember it slightly better. How is it that you see your heart? Okay? So these 4 things I think are going to be really helpful. Right? Is that seek God's will and his instruction. In other words, if you want to see your heart, go to Scripture and let the Scripture show you things about your heart. Right? Open yourself up. I desire your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. And the psalmist also says, I praise you, Lord. You counsel me through my heart. Now, this is really important. The Bible is designed to impact your heart. They're still theological. You have to use your brain. You connect theologically. You understand things. You try to figure things out. But what it's the Scripture's for, the Scripture is to take you to Jesus and show you your heart. And when you read the Scripture, you can say, I'm just cognitively leading, but that's not the way you're supposed to read Scripture. As you read Scripture, as you study Scripture, it's supposed to go down and talk to you, and Jesus talks to you through Scripture. And so if you want to see your heart, you need to be in Scripture and let Scripture be alive and living, right? And so as we look at that spot, is that what I would say on this is that when the first thing I say of seeing your heart is this, is welcome. Welcome the Holy Spirit in all the things that you do. And look at, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me to the way everlasting. In other words, it's scary, but God's got a grace. He loves you. He already sees you. He already knows exactly what's going on inside you right now. He already knows the things you're hiding right now. He already knows the things you're struggling right now. He already sees you. All he's saying is, just be honest about that. And then allow me, I'm already seeing you, allow me to search and show you what is down there. And he will never condemn you. He will always lovingly show that. And this can be through everyday life, as you're just kind of going along, like, you know, what's happening today, and you're thinking, oh, I can see what's happening down here. And God shows you what's happening in interactions. Sometimes it can be in devotional times. You have some time before him. He begins showing you things down here that really help to show you what's going on inside of you. You know, there's sometimes he deals with it really strongly. Have you guys ever heard that one? Where it's like, whoo, the light comes on. And I always say, it hurts so good. It's just, you know, it shows you. Like, a couple of examples would be this is that I was, I started thinking over the last year, I've been this verse of judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn and you won't be condemned. And I've heard that a million times, but I couldn't get out of my mind. And so I began, everywhere I'd go, I would start seeing, with God's grace, how I judge everybody. I mean, I thought I didn't judge anybody. I thought I was the most kind, gracious person. But when I saw my heart, I saw how I was putting myself and comparing myself against everybody. And it didn't condemn me. It just allowed me to see differently. I'm seeing more of what's happening in me, and I feel God's grace, and he's doing lots of cool things because of that. But sometimes God shows your heart when you ask him. He shows you things that you're completely blind to and are rattling. Like one time I was at this conference, and I've used this story before, but it was such an impactful story. As I was in this conference, and the challenge was, ask God to show you anything that you need to turn away from and repent of. And when he shows you, I want you to come up front and confess it to somebody and get prayed for. And I thought, well, I'm good. I have no problem here. I'm feeling good. I'll do that. I have no sense there's anything I'm hiding. So I say, God, is there anything within me that you'd like to show me? And he said very clearly, David, you're a manipulator. And I thought, whoa, could you explain a little bit more? Nothing. And I thought, well, is it my past? Can you talk to me a little bit about this? Nothing. So I went up front. Why are you up here? God, and as soon as I said it, poosh, it all came out. And I saw my heart, and God came in and started freeing me from this. God loves to show us things in our heart, not to condemn us, but to free us from those things that are holding us back from receiving from God and being able to love the way God loves. Now, so welcome God. I jumped ahead a little bit on this last one. The scripture. Let God's word into your heart. You know, the place is when the word is alive and active, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates, dividing the soul, the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges, not with condemnation, but showing and judges the thoughts and the attitudes of your heart. The scripture allows you to see your heart. I mean, it happened when I was reading the verses, judge not and you will not be judged. I was reading that scripture and it just jumped off the page and that just stuck with me, right? It was in my heart and then I started having to figure it out. The other thing is your words. You know, listen to your words. If you want to know your heart, if you want to know who you are, don't trust what you've come up with. Trust your words and your attitudes more than what you've decided you are. It says that your words, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Okay? So the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So when you listen to your attitude, you don't need your grandmother to tell you this. God can show you this, right? You hear your tone. You notice that your words, pay attention to them and prayerfully listen to them. Are you speaking with lots of anger a lot lately? Are you disgusted with everybody? Are you always judgmental? Are you tearing down people? Are you dishonest? You know? Or are you speaking gratitude and hope and faith and kindness? Like, what's coming out there? You'll get both, right? But what's coming out of your mouth and your attitudes will reflect what's going on inside your heart. And let God show you, never condemn you, but just show you, this is what's going on. And then worship. Worship God with all your heart. There's something about worship. Have you guys ever tried to worship when you're just like this with God? How does that work, right? Praise God. You know, it's like, it exposes you. Like, you know, oh, I just don't worship that way. Well, what's happening down there? I don't care if you're singing or not singing. It's like, what's happening during worship? Are you able to actually express gratitude and love and thanksgiving? Are you able to say, I need you, God? Are you able to say, help me, Jesus? I love you, God. Proclaim, are you able to do that? Well, I just found worship is just a great thing for me to see my heart. Because it's the whole purpose is, how's it going in this relationship? Let's connect. Okay, it's not, you know, but in those worship times, God wants to show us our heart. You know, we worship what it says. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And kind of connected to worship, what is it that you worship will tell you where your heart's at. So, you know, a good question is when you worship, are you able to worship? And then, you know, what do you long for? That's showing you where your heart's at. What do you love and treasure the most? And I find that it's a place that it shows you as you think about these things, like where do you turn to in your pain? Those are all questions of what's happening in your heart. Now, the good news is the only reason he wants us to be this place of showing our heart is because he wants to have us to not allow the enemy to harden us and to cut us off from life. And so after we understand what the heart is, after we understand that it requires the Holy Spirit and we have some ways of seeing our heart, the good news is he has ways of softening us. And so how do we get to a place of a soft heart and keep a soft heart? And that's what we're going to close with as we go through this. Some of this will overlap because it's just truth that works both ways. But seek God's will and instruction. You know? In other words, say, I want to hear from you, God. I desire your will. That attitude takes us to a place, it humbles our heart before God. Right? I desire your will, my Lord, my God, your law is within my heart. It talks about your law counsels me. So allowing the scripture to not just reveal your heart, allowing the scripture to tell you what to do with a hard heart, tell you how to get from a place of being closed to a place of open, letting God use scripture for that. Second is, confess and live in the light. Okay, simple concept, but somehow it's hard for us to get this. Everybody here, if I had you raise your hand, because you know the right answer, maybe you wouldn't believe it, but you raise your hand, it's like, does God see all of you? Does he see every part of your heart? The ugliest part and the most beautiful part. You say, yeah. So, why are we afraid to be honest about that? Like, all of a sudden, we're explaining something he didn't know? Why does he need that? Because he wants us to be able to give him access to what he already sees. And so, at this place, is the, and the way you do that is you get honest. If you want God to give you a soft heart, then you have to quit hiding things in your heart. You have to live in light. I mean, the heart thrives. Our heart thrives on light. It just thrives. It grows on light. If it's dark, it just produces all kinds of darkness. And so just understand this principle. You need to be able to live in the light. You know, confession sounds so heavy, like, oh, I got to confess again. When you understand the grace of God, you just confess all day long. You just, your heart's just wide open. You're letting him teach you to turn to him in these situations and listen to him in those places. All right? And so just get used to being always honest about struggles, about what you're going through, about when you're mad. Be able to go to God with all those things, your heart hurts, your disappointments, right? You had a few this year. And so just what are those things? And then the other is this, this place of thanksgiving. There's actually tons of secular research on this that just affirms what's the truth of Scripture the whole time, is gratitude opens your heart to God. Grumbling and complaining closes your heart to God. Look at the Pharisees, look at the people in Israel that missed the whole deal because what? They grumbled and complained. It closed them off. They couldn't see what God was doing. But gratitude, in a place that you're thankful, even in the middle of struggle, you acknowledge the goodness of God and you learn to do that in a real way from your heart, it opens your heart to Him speaking. And the last one is just kind of this awareness of your words. Now, you know, I talked about your words show you what's in your heart. In other words, if you want to know who you really are, listen to your words, listen to your tone, you can see what's in your heart. Watch your actions, you can see what's in your heart. Do you know the opposite works too, according to Scripture? Is that when we speak what is true and what is right, and we dwell on what is true and what is right, it transforms our heart. We can see our heart, what's in it, but also as we speak and choose God in places, it actually transforms our heart. It opens our heart. It softens our heart. And so, you know, it says in Psalms, may these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. Just be thinking about that. Like, what I'm thinking on, when I'm at night when no one's looking, when I'm all by myself, what am I chewing on? What am I thinking about? What am I meditating on? What am I letting my mind go to? If we allow that to be God, it starts transforming our heart. Or, in the same way, is how do I speak words that are true and the things that God says are true, and I speak them, and as I speak them, it changes my heart. In Philippians it says, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So, we're just at this spot where we as a church, we as followers of Jesus, I think God keeps making things simpler to say, you need to get these basic things down. Loving God, loving others. Above all else, guard your heart. If you do those things, you'll be okay. Because everything flows out of that. He just wants us to have this place where we can trust Him with our whole heart. See, a soft heart is not a weak heart. A soft heart is a powerful heart. The psalmist says, though the armies besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though the war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding. So, above all else, guard your heart. Don't let the stuff in. When it gets in, turn on the lights, invite God in, let Him clear it out, and then guard your heart and let the good things in. Let the things that God will bring life to your heart, which are light and the place of truth and all the good things that bring purity to your heart, which allows you what? To see God. I don't want to fight this on my own anymore. I want to welcome you into my heart. I'm just going to read a scripture and just let the scripture, as if God's speaking and you're speaking your heart to God. Lord, you know me. You know when I sit down and I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word of my tongue was spoken, you know it completely. Search me. Ask Him to do that, right? Ask Him to search you right now. and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and God, lead me in the way everlasting. So this is what communion is for. It's to remind us that we can go to God and confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we live in this thing called grace, undeserved favor, that we are made right with God, not by our works, but by what he's done, and we can live in that spot. So we want to take your communion cup out. You can pull off that top layer and there'll be a little wafer in there. And as I read the verse, then I'll have you, we'll take the wafer together and we'll take the cup together as well. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In this, go ahead and take the bread now. God, we thank you for your broken body that you chose so we could be whole, so we could be free. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it . So whenever you eat this bread or drink this, in remembrance of me, whenever you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Let's go ahead and take the cup together. So the worship team will come up, and I would like to just have us close our eyes again, if you can. But you can set your cups down and just close your eyes for a second longer before we move into worship. And just be grateful, be thankful for what he's done for you, that you don't have to hide your sin. God, we say we are thankful. We are so grateful for what you did for us. We thank you that we were made right with you, that we are your beloved children, and that we don't have to hide any part of ourselves from you. And you see our hearts, and you don't want us to hide our hearts from you. God, give us eyes to see our hearts. Give us eyes, even to worship, of showing us our hearts, and made this worship time to a place that we actually, from our hearts, we yield ourselves to you, and we say, thank you for your goodness. So we just welcome you into our worship. In Jesus' name, amen.